You know why I said that to Junia? You know, when boys meet girls, they are sort of a little bit apprehensive, isn't it? I ran out of words, so I thought, well, I'll approach her with the Bible. Little did I know, I was prophesying that she'll be with me up to today. Before we hear the word of the word, of the Lord, let's come before the Lord in prayer, please. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are delighted we can call someone who listens. We have someone who can give us an ear and act. In this world today, Lord, people are seeking answers which they cannot find. The answers are only found in Jesus. I wish I can tell all the people that answers are in Jesus. In the book of Jeremiah, you wrote that it will come a time when no one, and I mean no one, will not have heard about the word. Each one will have the word in their heart, and you will be their God. This is our prayer this morning. Father, we want them to have the word in their hearts, and they should know that you are their God. So, Father, open our hearts as we hear your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and giving us Jesus, your Son, to come and die for our sins. I pray and ask you to bless each and everyone who is here this morning. Those who couldn't make it due to circumstances beyond their control, Father, we kindly ask you to bless them. Those who are not feeling well, touch them with your healing hand. I command in the name of Jesus, those who are not feeling well, be well. Amen. Welcome to our service. Visitors amongst us, we want to say welcome. This is the house of our Father. Feel free to participate, because your Father is waiting to hear from you. Do you know our God even listens to those prayers that you say in silence? So if you are a shy person like myself, I was shy when I approached Jania, I introduced myself with the Bible. You can do the same thing as well. If you are shy to speak in public, do it from your heart. Our scripture today came from the book of Mark. I want to give you a confession. This is my favorite book in the Bible, but I've never preached from it. Don't ask me why, but it just happened. I've never preached from the book of Mark, but I love it so much. So today, this reading, I just thought it is quite fitting with the events of this Palm Week, when Jesus was preparing to go to be crucified. But because I have been not preaching in my favorite book, my theme today is going to be something is missing. Amen. Something was missing, truly. If this is my favorite book and I've gone through theology to be trained to be a minister, I've never preached from this book. So something was missing. Listen to this reading from Isaiah 50, verse 4 to 9. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, because the sovereign Lord helps me. I will not be discouraged. Therefore, if I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame, he who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like garment. The moose will eat them up. Then we go on to Mark 11, verse 1 to 11. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethshev and Bethany and the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say, I want you to note this, say, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside the street, tied on a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around and everywhere. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. I also want you to note this last statement. He looked around. Not only in the temple, everything in it, including what was going on in there. Today, in the world that we live in, technology is awash. Whatever you look around, technology must have been involved. We were singing our songs just a few minutes ago. We're using technology. The words were coming up there. There are some churches, as I'm talking right now, they don't have this technology. They are still in the old system where they use the hymn books to sing. Technology has spoiled us. Have you had a situation whereby when you have got an appointment to go and see your GP, you are petrified? Your heart is beating at a fast rate because you're afraid what the GP is going to say to you. Some GPs have said to their patients, "You have got few days to live." And that brings a lot of anxiety in you because you think, "So I've got 5 days to live." I want to tell you a story. My neighbor, when I used to live in Tinklerside, I was already in New Haven. She was told she's got few weeks to live. She won't see Christmas. There's a shocker. She lived 2 years after that message. And she asked me to do her funeral, though she wasn't a church of the member of my church. And I said, "Well, you have been my neighbor. I will do your funeral." But what I'm saying here is, there is something missing. How can doctors predict the number of days left in your life? It's because of the technology that they use. They examine your body and see, well, your lungs or your brain, something is wrong with it. This damage which is there won't give you enough days to live on this earth. Technology has damaged us. And the food that we eat, brothers and sisters, it's highly processed, that in the course of process, some of the food nutrients are lost. You agree with me? Chemicals are put in there to preserve the food. God never wanted the food to be chemicalized. Maybe that's why there's a lot of illnesses going around. I'm not discouraging you to eat your favorite food, but I'm only saying there's something missing here. And they turn around now, they say, organic food is the best. It was the best in the first place anyway. They changed it around and say, well, now high-tech food is the best. But organic food is good because it's original. There are no chemicals. If you pick an apple from a tree without chemicalizing it, you are eating a proper apple, which has got no chemicals. So the one we eat, it's chemicalized. So something is missing. The story that we had this morning, we saw the young children acting in front of us. Jesus, when he was traveling with his disciples, he sent his two disciples ahead. He had the picture of what was ahead because he's God. He said, "Go and get a colt which no one has ever ridden. Go and bring it to me." He even told them how to answer because he was going to be asked. They got there. The villagers saw what was happening and they asked, "What are you doing?" They said, "The Lord wants it." Full stop. Mark doesn't tell us what happened, whether there was a commotion or it was a free for all. All we are told is they asked, "Why are you taking the colt?" "The Lord wants it." And the Lord that way. And they took it to Jesus. Would we expect Jesus being King of Kings? You know, when those of you who were around when the queen was being the coronation of the queen, you know, the pomp and extravagance which goes with it. You see all different kinds of decorations in the street. The Union Jack will be flying. But not with Jesus' coronation. It wasn't like that. Because this was a false coronation. Why I say a false coronation? Because his coronation was not here. If you read in the book of Acts, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the angels worshipped him. When they worshipped him, he sat at the right hand of his Father. Amen. That's the true coronation. Not this one here. That's why he didn't want it to happen that way. He rode on a colt that no one has ever ridden. But why did he go on a colt? Mark doesn't tell us why Jesus rode on a colt. But there's one of the writers who says why. If you don't mind with me, let's go to Matthew chapter 21. We'll get the answer in there. Why Jesus went on the colt. Right, because we are all now, in our brains, we are asking, but why? Why did he go on a colt, which was no one has ever ridden? Mark doesn't say, but Matthew now is actually telling us, colt. Some could have say colt is a young one of a donkey, or a young one of a horse, or something else. But Matthew now wants to clear our minds. He says in verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That is our answer. That is why he rode on that colt. This was prophecy. Prophecy is coming true. Prophecy is coming true. Jesus didn't want that pomp, coronation, that takes place in the world today when there is a, let's say you have a head of state visiting your country. In other countries, you find school children lining up the street, waving the fallen dignitary's flag. Not with Jesus. That was not a true coronation. It was a false coronation. Because the time of the coronation was waiting for him in heaven. But before these events lead into the riding of the colt, Jesus is walking in Jericho. There was a man who was sitting by the roadside. His name is Bartimaeus. He was blind. He didn't see Jesus. He heard the commotion in the streets. And he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus wasn't even discouraged by the crowd. If you read that story in Mark chapter 10, they say to him, stop it, don't make noise. But he wasn't discouraged by what they were saying. He said, I am asking for the Son of David to have mercy on me. Jesus had mercy on him. And after that, he was able to see. Bartimaeus could have actually been spiritually blind. Christ is now making him spiritually sightful. He can see now. This is all these events are leading to Jesus as he's going to face the crucifixion. But there is something missing as Jesus is walking in that street with his disciples. There is something missing to complete the equation. What is missing? The colt is missing because the prophecy has been said already. Jesus wants to fulfill the prophecy. He says, go and bring a colt. If they ask you, say the Lord wants it. If this hadn't happened, then prophecy was not going to come true. Was not going to come true. This event is when we see Jesus becoming public. Before, he was doing things in a secretive way. You remember after healing that man who was paralyzed for 38 years. When they wanted to crown him king in the book of John, Jesus disappeared. They kept on asking, who healed you? Who healed you? Jesus didn't want to make it a public thing. He disappeared because his time hadn't come. He withdrew from the public eye. But now, Jesus is showing himself in public. This Palm Week is the week Jesus is showing himself in public. He's coming in there. Multitudes of people are gathered in Jerusalem. for the Passover week. They are witnesses to what is happening. They are seeing what is happening. When he's riding into Jerusalem, people are taking off their coats. They've got palm leaves and they are waving, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David." It's become a public issue. Jesus is coming with a myriad of Jews watching him. Even those who have been trying to kill him, they are also watching him as he enters Jerusalem. But if it was in today's world, such a celebrity would expect to see an entourage of bodyguards, cars, horns being blown in the street. But he didn't do it that way. He did it in a simple way. He is teaching us to be simple. He is teaching us that we don't need the possessions of this world. We don't need them. We don't need them. Jesus was a king, but he didn't want all that pomp and celebration style that other people associated with. He went in a simple motorcade of a pony, according to the prophecy which was prophesied. And only Matthew is the one who has confirmed why a donkey was used. Jesus knew there was something missing in the world. He wanted to fulfill what his father wanted to be completed. There was no love in the world. There was no love. So Jesus came so that there can be love in the world. There's now love between us and God. We have got a bridge that we can walk on as we stretch our hands to God because of Jesus. He came with this Palm Sunday, the complete of his ministry. This week is very, very important. When you start something, you know what? We don't really see the direction of something when it's starting. But the end result must be the best. Amen? So Jesus now is coming to the end of his ministry. He is going to show the best. He's approaching the cross, isn't it? This is why Jesus came. "Father, I want to do your will." He is bringing that love because it says in John 3 verse 6, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Yes. So that whoever believes in him should not perish. I don't want to perish, so I believe in him. I wonder if we have young people here who are 30 years and below. Jesus was around that age. And he sacrificed his life so that we can today be proud to be the children of God. God gave his only son. And this giving was going to be completed in this week of Palm Week. He came riding on a colt to complete that mission. During those days in the Palestine dusty streets, the mode of transport was feet. So imagine, they didn't have shoes those days. They had sandals. So if you walk in the dusty street, when you get to your destination, your feet are full of dust. Especially if you have put Vaseline on your legs. By the time you complete your journey, your feet are full of dust. So, maybe at this time Jesus was tired. No, it's only me I'm suggesting. He was tired. So he wanted the colt to ride on because this journey, you remember, he was always walking on feet. So now maybe when he got to this point, he wants now to complete his journey. Something is missing. So he sends his disciples to go and get the colt so that he can complete the journey. During those days, we are told people used a mode of transport was boats or feet, or the Romans used horses. King David, on the coronation of his son, he used a mule. In 1 Kings 1:33, it talks about the mule. "Go and take a mule and bring my son," the story is told. So in biblical times as well, when someone comes to you riding on a donkey, he is announcing peace. But if he comes to you riding on a horse, he is announcing war. So this is also what Jesus was doing. He is announcing peace to the world through his love. In the end, Jesus will return with his entourage of angels from heaven. In Revelation, it says he will be coming on a white horse to declare war. So the Bible doesn't lie. It is said, those who ride on horses declare war. Those who ride on donkeys declare peace. So Jesus here is declaring peace as he's riding into Jerusalem. But there will come a time when Jesus will come riding on a horse. a white horse, according to the Revelation story, with an entry of disciples, angels, coming down in this earth to judge. When he has judged, we will live in that Jerusalem forever and ever, those who have listened to his word. That's our Lord. So the coronation that happened in heaven will also happen here when he returns. That is the true coronation. So something is missing, my brothers and sisters. So we need to carry on with this journey. Jesus, who is our King. If you read the whole story of Jesus, the Pharisees were not happy with him. His disciples didn't understand what he was saying. His family was also thinking he was a madman. The demons knew who he was because they said it. But that's not a problem to us Christians today. We know who Jesus is. He is our King. He is King of Kings. And he will come again to reign in his glory. And when he was buried in a borrowed grave. It wasn't his. And this is the Son of God who can command anything at his voice. Right now, if you call his name, even demons are afraid of it. If you say, I'm not feeling well, Jesus, touch me with your healing hand. Even the illness will obey. But he was buried in a borrowed grave. He was showing how to be humble. Giving. Christ is actually showing us and teaching us the importance of giving. He gave all that he had. That is his life. I asked the young people in the church this morning who are 13 below. If you are asked to sacrifice your life, are you willing to do that? It's something difficult that you cannot do. But Jesus did it. He suffered as a human being as well. You remember when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? He had teardrops of blood. Those are where our sins overwhelming Jesus in here. Even the blood system when he was moving to the heart. You know, when blood is pumped out in your body, it's pumped back to the heart to be purified. So when the blood was going in as Jesus was praying, because his body was heavy with our sins, not his sins. Jesus was righteous. Our sins were on him as he's praying. Imagine, knowing what is coming now, this is the week. He had tears of blood, sweat of blood drops coming out of his body because of your sin and my sin. I want you to draw your attention in this drama which is happening right now. Do you want to inquire more about what was happening in Jesus' life because of you and me? He was soaked in our sins in that week. He even humbled himself and he borrowed that pony, which didn't even belong to him. Consider, you were one of the villagers as these two disciples approach you to come and ask for the colt. You don't know these people. They just say, well, we are having this colt. Yeah. Hello, mate. We don't know each other. Just come and take my property. Is that right? Definitely we have said something is wrong here. But maybe the Spirit of God had already spoken to them. Or maybe they had heard the story of Jesus as it was common those days. They heard about him. They let the colt go. This reminds me of the story of the crippled man who was brought to where Jesus was with his four friends. They were putting him on a blanket, walking along to where Jesus was. Because there were so many people in the house, they couldn't go in the house. They brought him through the roof so that Jesus could heal him. We are not told what the owner of the house said. We are not told whether the house was repaired after that. All what we are told is he was brought through the roof. The tiles had to be taken off, whether they were using tiles those days. So at one time, tiles of the roof have got to be taken off for you to be brought to where Jesus is. Amen. Someone has got to go and tie that colt so that you can bring it to Jesus for him to complete his journey. That's why I said something is missing. If something is missing, you cannot complete what you want to do. Today, the same spirit that prompted the villagers to let the colt go. I want to use this opportunity to say a big thank you to all of you. You remember a few months ago, I asked you that I am starting a food bank in this church. And already we've filled two boxes. We've taken them to need places. And I want to encourage you to carry on doing it. It's quite pleasing before God. The Spirit of God spoke to you, and you have been giving promptly on this issue of the food bank. So please, I want to allow myself and yourselves to carry on doing this. Christ wants the called to complete his mission. This could be the call that Christ is calling for. He said, in a while, I'll bring it back. Amen. In a while, I'll bring it back. It also comes with what we give to our church. I just want to bring the issue of the offerings that we collect in this church. It's tied on a post near a house. Go and untie it. Christ is saying today, go and untie that coat and bring it to me. This coat is the offerings that we give to this church. And Christ said, in a while, I'll bring them back. Let me explain that a little bit. We give it to the church, right? And Christ saying, I'll bring it back. Did you know that the same offerings that we use in this church, we use for paying for our electricity, we use for paying our water around here. So Christ saying, I'll bring it back. So don't be apprehensive about it. When you bring the offerings in there, they are in good hands. Christ has asked for that code. He wants to use it. But listen to something. What Luke says in Luke 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the same measure you use, I will measure it to you. Amen. That's our God. It is the same measure that you have given. The villagers have given their colt. They didn't even bother how the colt is going to be treated, how the colt was going to be retained. They gave it. We are not told whether they queried when it's coming back, what it's going to eat. No, they gave freely, and Jesus rode on it. We are not told whether it was retained, but that was Jesus' statement. He's God. He always keeps his statement, isn't it? So the same applies as well, as I'm encouraging you about the offerings that you bring to this church. That is the call Jesus is asking you to bring for his completion of his mission. Amen. And also, Malachi also brings the same story in a different way. Malachi 3 verse 10, I think it's quite common, this one. Bring the whole tithe into the stores, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. That's our God. That's the Bible. It says, test me. This is the only time you're allowed to test God, brothers and sisters. The Bible says it. Test me and see if I cannot open the floodgates. The King James says, I opened the windows of heaven. I did not know that heaven has got windows until I read that in King James. I'll open the windows of heaven, wow, for you and for me. Not for God himself. He doesn't need the windows open. He needs it for you. So that's why he's saying, let your colt come and be used by my son. Because if he doesn't come, something is missing. Hallelujah. This is what God is asking this morning. He wants your colt. He wants to use it. And he says he will return it. What a blessing. What a blessing. So, how do you bring your gift to God this morning? Are you bringing on the line that he has blessed you because you prayed as he was walking on that street of Jericho and you were blind and you opened your eyes? Or you are bringing your gift because God is saying, I want that colt to use it. I want that colt to use it. This Palm Sunday, I want to tell you something. So that God can open his windows in heaven. This is how we are going to do it. I thanked you for the food bank, all the collection that we have been doing. Now, on the offerings, I want to thank you as well. Your giving. But I've got a suggestion as well. Listen to this. If you were giving £10 every month, can you add one? I don't know which one you're going to add. Either 1p or 110p or another tenner. Right? That's for Palm Sunday. We are letting the colt go to be used by Jesus. And he says, in a while, I'll return it back. Malachi has already said it. He said, test God. Right. For those of us who pay into the church through a direct debit. Yes? Add one on the direct debit that you have. Okay? So there's something for everyone. For those of you who are not on direct debit, why can't you go on direct debit and be gift aided? That's all for this Palm Sunday. That's the cult you are letting go. Jesus wants it. If you are not direct debited, do it. You know the advantage of direct debit? Even if you are not this church, your cult can still be used by Jesus in your absence. Glory to his name. Amen. Even if you are not here, that cult, Jesus will send his disciples to go and untie it, to bring it to him. And in a while, he will return it back to you. He doesn't need it. He's the King of glory. Amen. He doesn't want these material things. They are for our benefit because we will always leave them on this earth anyway. In heaven, you don't need them. We leave them here. So that's why Jesus is saying, I want your coat. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Jesus has shown his love to us to come and die for us. Now he's also showing respect. So by giving that coat to Jesus, you're showing respect to what he did. Jesus is fulfilling what his father sent him to come and do. You remember when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he even said to his father, Father, if it is possible, please take this cup away from me. But not my will, but thy will. That's a respect to his father. You know, in a family situation, if there is no more relationship within the family, the people in the family are no longer respecting each other. Commotion starts to brew. When commotion brews, people don't see eye to eye. So respect is very essential wherever you are. Family situation, work situation, church situation. Jesus is showing us how to do it. He respected those villages. He even told his disciples in advance, when they ask you, tell them the Lord wants it. He didn't just say, go and grab it and bring it to me. No. He said, if they ask you, tell them the Lord wants it. That's respect. He had respect and he was God. He could have said, because I'm God, go and take it and bring it. But Jesus didn't do that. He showed respect. And he also respected his father who had sent him to come and die for us so that today we can be called the children of God. So if Jesus hadn't done this, something was missing. How were we going to communicate with our father without Jesus? This Palm Sunday, the last week of his ministry, very, very crucial. He's doing the last things to show what is to be done. About his humanity, we can say, some people can say, well, he was the Son of God, so things were honky-dory for him. No, it wasn't. I told you already, he was buried in a borrowed grave. He used to ask other people's bones to cross the Sea of Galilee. And now he's asking someone's colt. He didn't have his own. He didn't have even his own bank account. Judas was the one who was taking care of the monies of that group. And he was corrupt as well. So you see, Jesus went all through all these hard things. You might think because he was Son of God, so everything was honky-dory. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. His humanity, he showed that he is also a human being like us. So he came to fulfill that promise of God. Through him, now we can be called children of God. Through him, our sins can be forgiven as it is now. I want to bring your attention to verse 11, which says, Jesus looked everywhere in the temple. Jesus looked everywhere in the temple. I want you today to look everywhere. That's in your life. What has happened in your life? Was it because you are clever? Or because you are from a rich family? Or because you are so educated? It is because Jesus loves you. So look around and see how your life is. If you look around and you see Jesus has got no meaning in your life, I will ask you after the service, come and see me or one of the deacons. Then we can explain to you what it means to have life in Jesus Christ. Jesus looked around in the temple. So this morning I'm kind of asking you to look around and see how your life is. Christ has shown us the way. He has gone ahead of us. When he asked for your call this morning, please let the disciples have it. If he sends someone to untie the colt, let it go without any questions. We might have anxieties like we have when doctors tell us about our results. But with Jesus, we don't need to have any anxieties because he's gone ahead of us. He's prepared the way. The psalmist says, "For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth." Let the spirit of Palm Sunday give you the confidence in God. Let the spirit of Palm Sunday give you hope in Christ. Let the spirit of Palm Sunday give you the strength to let the colt go to those who want to use it. So are you going to let your colt go? If you're not able, ask the spirit of God to help you and you're able to let the colt go. If the Spirit of God has been speaking to you as I was speaking, at the end of this service, come with me in the prayer zone there. We can pray together. Or if you just want the prayer, not necessarily that the Spirit spoke to you, but you need a special prayer, you can come in that corner there at the back. One of the deacons and myself will come there with you to pray with you. As we finish this morning, I want to ask God El Shaddai to bless you throughout the week. I want to ask God El Shaddai to protect you because he's your God. I want to ask God El Shaddai to answer all your prayers unconditionally. Let us pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, Father, we are glad that Christ has gone ahead of us. We are glad that this Palm Sunday, Christ is showing us how he completed his ministry and the task that is left, as according to the book of Matthew. He says, go and make disciples of men and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them everything that I have taught you. Oh Lord, this is a lovely instruction. Teach them what I have taught you. Father, give us the ability to go and teach them. Give us the ability to baptize them and pronounce the name of the Lord, El Shaddai, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as we baptize them. When we are being baptized, we are dying with Christ. We raise with Christ. So, Father, bless us. Father, teach us to listen to these instructions because you are a living God. In Jesus Christ's name I have prayed. Amen.